This is Paige, the co-host of Giggly Squad, and I want to tell you about a company that I've been loving, Olive & June. Olive & June gives you everything that you need for a salon-quality manicure in one box. And if you break it down, it really comes out to $2 a manicure, which is absolutely insane. It's also so easy to get salon-worthy nails at home with Olive & June. The difference between how your nails used to look when you did them yourself and now with the Manny system is a complete game changer. The best thing about Olive & June, too, is it's a quick dry. It dries in about 1 minute, lasts for 5 days, and full coverage in up to 1 to 2 coats. Visit oliveandjune.com/perfectmanny20 for 20% off your first system. That's oliveandjune.com/perfectmanny20 for 20% off your first system.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom. Like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Welcome to the Outlier Podcast. I'm your host, Lauren Conlin, and 15-year-old autistic teen Sebastian Rogers in Sumner County, Tennessee, is still missing. It's been well over a month. Sebastian disappeared from his family home on February 26th, and I have not made a new episode or provided any type of update on the Sebastian Rogers case on the Outlier podcast since my initial episode on March 11th. Now, I have been reporting on Sebastian and providing updates in his case on my X account, formerly known as Twitter, and also the Nancy Grace Show had me join a panel about Sebastian twice so far, reporting on what I knew. And the first time I appeared on Nancy's show, I was on with Sebastian's stepfather and mother, Chris and Katie Proudfoot, and the second time I was on with his father, Seth Rogers, and both times it was very intense. Miss Nancy allowed us to ask questions to anyone on the panel, and by the way, I had never been on the air with Nancy before, and I just love her. I was so nervous. She's so intimidating in the best way. And I was disappointed in myself this past week on her show. I felt like I stuttered a lot. It's just not like me. And I was super nervous, but I am still so committed to figuring out what happened to Sebastian and how we can bring him home. So when I first appeared on the March 25th episode of Nancy Grace, they were at the point in the investigation where the United Cajun Navy had joined the search efforts. Now, the United Cajun Navy, they are a volunteer group that was brought in by Seth Proudfoot. And at that point, a canine appeared to have some kind of hit on something, but it had nothing to do with Sebastian. So the volunteer group, the UCN, that was brought in by Seth Rogers, on the 325 show, Chris Proudfoot stated to me that he and Katie were the ones that brought him in. So this is just one of the conflicting statements that he appeared to make on that particular show. Nancy also asked him about the incident where CPS was called
when he hit Sebastian with a belt, and he claimed it was years ago when it was in fact confirmed to be much more recent than 3 years ago, which is what he stated on the show. It was actually reported to be within the last year. And he also told Nancy on the show when she asked, "Would you take a polygraph test?" He said yes. Then he went back on that statement and told Nancy Grace that the Tennessee Bureau of Investigation or law enforcement told him not to. Then on the April 3rd Nancy Grace show, a reporter for Crime Online, his name is Dave Mack, he tried to confirm with the TBI when we were waiting to go live with Nancy. He was literally on the phone with them trying to see if they actually told him not to do it. And they would not share anything with him. However, on the April 3rd show of Nancy Grace, she asked Seth Rogers, Sebastian's actual father, if he would take a polygraph, and he said yes. So that is set for April 10th. And I mean, the big question for me is that, why is it that Seth is allowed to take a polygraph, and even Katie Proudfoot took one? She stated on Nancy's show that she passed hers. So why is it that Chris Proudfoot is the only one that can't take one? Okay, and let's circle back to the United Cajun Navy for a minute. There were some content creators that were really going hard on them, harassing them, saying they were asking people for money and they were a sham. And it was really confusing to me because they are a volunteer group. And yes, volunteer groups do sometimes ask for donations because they need them. And they were there searching for Riley Strain's body in Nashville. And there were seemingly no issues there. So it was very, very sad to see that all of a sudden there was so much drama and noise when it came to Sebastian's case. So the president of the United Cajun Navy, Brian Trasher, he told Nancy Grace that they received death threats and they reported them to Sumner County. Although during the Sumner County Sheriff's Office press conference, which I will get to, this was on April 2nd, they claimed they didn't know of any death threats. Now, going back to March 15th, there was surveillance footage of two flashlights behind Sebastian's house at around 3 a.m., which turned out to be nothing. And then on Monday, April 1st, volunteers found a pair of glasses about 15 minutes from the Proudfoot home in Hendersonville. And at the time, Seth Rogers strongly believed they could be Sebastian's. And then a few hours later, the Sumner County Sheriff's Office confirmed that they were, in fact, not his. So going back to the April 2nd press conference led by Eric Craddock, they essentially stated that they had nothing new to share and that people should essentially be weary of what's on social media. And I found that the journalists in the room asking questions were absolutely the highlight of this entire press conference because they were the ones that brought up the glasses. The sheriff's office were not going to share that info. And I am aware they don't owe us anything, but it's so frustrating and worrisome. And I'm sorry if I sound like a broken record. They keep stating nothing indicates foul play, but they won't rule it out. So a 15-year-old boy, an autistic boy, he disappears without a trace. And you check Kentucky landfills, but no foul play. Oh, and Chris and Katie Proudfoot have been spending time in Memphis. And yes, I understand Chris does work there. And according to Katie, Sebastian could be anywhere. And sure, of course he could. But listen, if my kid is missing, I'm going to live in my house that my kid knows for as many years as it takes for them to come back. I cannot even imagine. And additionally, I want to add that there were two recent interviews conducted by YouTubers, and they have a lot of people talking. Now, one of the interviews is Chris Proudfoot's ex, or one of his many exes, Nina Gomez, who is also the mother to his daughter, and she gave a heartbreaking testimony about Chris, and she goes into a lot of detail. But something that stuck with me is when she talked about Chris aggressively spanking her three-year-old from a previous marriage. A three-year-old. Who spanks a three-year-old aggressively? And it's not even your kid. Three-year-olds are toddlers. And that just made me so worried for Sebastian. And one thing I didn't love that Nina said a few times is, I wish I never met him, referring to Chris. And I know she didn't mean it like this, but if she didn't meet Chris, then she wouldn't have her daughter. She said it a few times, but I do understand what she meant. I'm just not sure if anyone else picked up on that. But then the second interview that I'm speaking about is the fact that Seth Rogers shared with someone who goes by Justin on TikTok. He's great. He shared with Justin that Sebastian was SA'd by an older child. And I'm not going to get into details because I'm not sure if this helps find Sebastian. I'm really not. I mean, it gives you context as to why he could have possibly run away if he even did that, but it just makes you feel so bad for this child. I hope and pray every day that he comes home and he is found, and I am trying to have more faith in Tennessee law enforcement, which many of you know if you listen to my other podcast, Corruption, What Happened to Grant Solomon. I don't necessarily have a lot of faith in them, but I'm also a big supporter of the police, so this is just a really hard situation. But for now, let's keep Sebastian's name, picture, and face out there. And I will also add once again, please follow Peter Hyatt on X or Twitter. Sorry, I still call it Twitter. But he is the statement deception analysis expert. And he has been so incredible with his YouTubes and his posts about finding deception mainly in Chris Proudfoot's statements. So he said something today that really, really stuck with me. He said, quote, "Holding an update to announce there is no update while chiding social media isn't likely to inspire confidence in the investigation," end quote. And again, if you have any information about Sebastian's whereabouts, please call 1-800-TBI-FIND. And now I want to quickly discuss another missing persons case that is so scary, and it's almost bizarre because two women vanished from the same place at the same time. And this is out of Kansas. However, the women, they went missing in Texas County, Oklahoma. And I'm from the Northeast, so this was a bit confusing for me just to say all of the states and the counties. I'm like, wait, what? But this is about 27-year-old Veronica Kelly, a single mother of two. She was traveling from Kansas to Oklahoma to visit her two children that she did not have custody of to take them to a birthday party. And they were at the kids' grandma's house. And this is the mother of her ex, Wrangler Cole Rickman. And the mother, or the kids' grandmother, her name is Tiffany Adams. I know that was a mouthful, but Veronica Butler and Wrangler Cole Rickman were not married, so that's why I'm referring to the kid's grandma, her ex, and blah, blah, blah. So Veronica Butler was traveling with her friend and court-appointed supervisor, mother of five, and preacher's wife, 39-year-old Jillian Kelly. And on Saturday, March 30th, their car was found abandoned on the side of a rural highway south of Elkhart, Kansas, near Highway 95 and Road L. And that is Oklahoma. Now, just a little bit about these women, and I was not friends with them, so please forgive me if you are friends with them and I get any of these facts wrong. Jillian Kelly, she obviously was very involved with her church as the preacher's wife, and she also was listed as the secretary of her church, and her family pictures on her Facebook are so adorable. It looks like she's just such a devoted mother. She's always sharing funny memes and tagging her daughters. It looks like she liked plants and she was funny, And I just, it was breaking my heart to just look at her Facebook page and see how much her family probably misses her and just how worried they are. And looking at Veronica's Facebook, she also seems like such a devoted mom, despite all of the custody issues. And she just seems like she genuinely loves her children, again, despite whatever is going on with custody and allegations. She posted a picture of her children who are so adorable. And she wrote the quote, "The beauty that surrounds me is absolutely breathtaking. It's the faces of my children." And it looks like she made these really cute car air fresheners in different styles and characters. You know those air fresheners that dangle from your car, from the mirror, the rearview mirror? She just looks like she was an artist and she turned them into these cute little animals and designs. And from her photos, it did appear that she was dating someone and she did look happy. And guys, look, I know that social media can be smoke and mirrors, of course. It's not always real life, but these two women, their posts, they did seem genuine, and they are not influencers with lots of followers. They're people like everyone else, and they are just so loved. So on April 4th, the Oklahoma Bureau of Investigation announced that there was evidence of foul play, but we don't know what that is yet. So as of today, April 5th, it was reported by a local source that there was a large uptick in police activity in the surrounding area and that some of Veronica Butler's family was on the ground. There were rumblings of possible arrests, four of them, but so far that is not confirmed and there have been no arrests. But let's go back to possible motives. So of course, the internet tells us a lot. Court dockets revealed that Wrangler Cole Rickman and Veronica Butler, who I said were never married, had been in a nasty court battle for custody since about 2019. Their children, I believe, are 9 and 5, and Rickman at one point demanded a paternity test, and at another point, Butler alleged that Rickman had abused the children, but those claims were unsubstantiated and unfounded. Now, Rickman's mother, Tiffany Adams, was the intervener. I believe she has sole custody, but it's still a bit unclear to me. It would appear that she does for the time being, since the children were with her, and that's where Veronica and Jillian were headed. But again, that is not confirmed. I will also share with you why I can't confirm certain things, because the state of Oklahoma did not appear at first to seal a lot of these records, even though they included information about minors. But they did appear to remove them, certain court dockets from the internet, this past Tuesday or Wednesday, April 3rd or 4th, after they released information about Veronica Butler and Jillian Kelly's disappearance. I did not save all of them. I only saved some of them, and the ones that are available just did not tell me exactly what I was looking for. So before they removed them, I did see something very heartbreaking that had to do with Veronica Butler's brother and one of the children. I'm just not sure stating any of what I read will help find them, so I will keep that private. But in these type of situations, when someone or people go missing, you look at the ex or the spouse or obviously someone with motive. So all of these court dockets were relevant. And in this case, everything pointed to Wrangler Cole Rickman. However, according to the court docs, he was arrested and arraigned on March 1st for possession of a firearm after a felony conviction. And I know it's looking more and more like, hey, this could be the guy. But he was ordered to report to an inpatient rehab facility for 6 months on March 22nd. And there was no warrants out after the fact to indicate that he didn't go. I also spoke to a Rickman family member who confirmed that he went. And the first 30 days, you're not allowed to leave the premises at all. Quote, He was checked into rehab on the 22nd, 30 days no contact, and cannot leave any outings from the facility for 30 days and has to be there for 6 months. OSBI confirmed he was there. End quote. I also asked them if the Butler Rickman children were safe, and she said, quote, OSBI has eyes on them and they are okay. End quote. And Rickman's most recent ex, I did see her post some very cryptic statements on her Facebook that did make me feel a bit uneasy. Although knowing that Wrangler Cole Rickman is in rehab, that made me think, well, maybe her cryptic statements are possibly referring to some of his relatives. I'm just not sure. Time will tell, and I don't want to falsely accuse anyone. So the family member, she did share a few more pieces of information that have to be vetted, and that's why I'm choosing not to share them. But another family member also indicated that Veronica was a bit scared of Tiffany Adams, Wrangler's mother, or someone close to Tiffany. I'm not sure. I can't confirm that exactly, but she was allegedly afraid of Tiffany or someone close to her, and that law enforcement should dig further. So the families of both Jillian Kelly and Veronica Butler were instructed by law enforcement to not officially speak to media, which is sometimes an indication that law enforcement has an idea of who the suspects are and what's happening. I'm so scared for these women. I am so scared for their families. They are mothers and they are loved. I do have a feeling that soon enough we'll know what happened, just because it does feel like the police are zeroing in with the uptick in activity in that area. But if you have tips, please call 1-800-522-8017. And I'll also add that in the episode notes. So have no fear. I will also add the tip line for Sebastian Rogers as well. And I thank you all for listening to this extra episode and caring enough to help find these people. Again, please check the episode notes for how you can help.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And is all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Hey, marketers, advertisers, and business owners. Find yourself chatting up the same audience in the same places, using the same old lines? Maybe it's time to podcast the net further to catch your next customer. With Acast, there's plenty of fish in the sea with more than 100,000 podcasts and millions of listeners. So there's a perfect match for every business. Use our ad platform to cast your net, then narrow down using targeting such as demographic, show categories, audience segments, and more. Find your match, then reel them in. Advertise on more than 100,000 podcasts with Acast. Head to go.acast.com/closer to get started.